Good morning, my brothers and sisters. It is so great to see you here in church this morning in our Father's house, ready to receive from Him and to return praise and thanksgiving for all that He has done for us. Let us begin our worship service this morning, and let us begin it remembering the day that we were brought into His family, the day that we were made His children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to be here in your house, in your presence, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us through your word, that you have given us faith, Lord, and the opportunity to live out our new lives in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Lord, I pray that your spirit would work among us today. Help us to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to know you better so that we can worship you for the God you are. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sin. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sin. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have an amazing God, a God that has revealed himself to us using words, but at the same time, a lot of those words are difficult to understand. Like, you know, one word means there's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing he cannot do. They're words that while they describe God, they leave so much not said because they're so open-ended and they just don't end. And that's what we're going to be singing about today as we give praise to our God, that he is truly indescribable.
Thank you. morning. What amazing God we have to give us his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior, that all those who believe and trust in him shall have eternal life. If you're not sure of this, come back to the prayer chapel after the service, and I'll talk with you. Yeah. So far, we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, and then through 6, and verses through 10. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers that you and I are, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is a time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. If we put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, hard work, helpless, sleepless, nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in true, full speech, and in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad reports and good reports, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, have nothing, and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Darwin. All right, children, it is now time for the children's message, so come on forward at this time. How are you folks doing? Good?
Yeah.
Very good?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, I want to talk to you today about something called stress. Anybody knows that what that is? Let me try to explain it. All right. It kind of works like this. If you're like having a really nice day, and all of a sudden your mom says, before you can go out and play, you need to clean your room. What? How's that make you feel? What's that?
Stressed.
A little bit stressed, right? And I like to think of stress like a rubber band, okay? On a really good day when there's nothing going wrong, the rubber band is just resting and it's real happy. But when all of a sudden something happens that you don't like so much, the rubber band gets stretched just a little bit. And does it feel very good to be stretched? Not so much. But, you know, it's just a little stress, right? Until all of a sudden you have a fight with your brother or sister, and then you get a little bit more stretched. And then your dad gets mad at you, which makes you a little bit more stretched. And then all of a sudden you remember that there's a big homework assignment you haven't done yet, which makes you a little bit more stretched. Who likes to be stretched that far? Not me either. No way. I don't like it a bit. Well, here's the thing, guys. Here's what Jesus was dealing with in the story that we're going to be reading next here. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, and he went a whole 40 days without eating. Anybody ever go a whole day without eating?
Yeah.
Nope. You did? Really? How many days did you go? Just one. Okay, well, that's a lot. How hungry were you?
Very hungry.
Very hungry. Okay, how about 40 days? No, I'm not even going to try it either. That doesn't sound like any fun at all. How stretched do you think Jesus was by the end of 40 days of not eating? A lot, right?
Yeah.
Well, the devil came to Jesus, and Jesus also had other things going on in his life. He knew that he was going to have to be teaching people and that they weren't going to like him. He knew that he had to tell things that were true that people weren't going to want to hear. He knew that eventually he was going to have to like die for us, right? Do you think he was looking forward to that? No. So do you think all of those things kind of stretched Jesus? And the devil came up to Jesus and said, "Listen, I have an idea. How about we take all of that stress away?" Exactly. He says, "You know what you can do is you can just, instead of being so hungry, you can just tell these pieces, these rocks, and tell them to become bread. You think that would work?"
No.
Well, this is Jesus talking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, did he do stuff like that? I mean, he's the one that like took one boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people. That's a lot, right? I mean, Jesus did some things like that. Jesus walked up to a guy who couldn't walk and said, "Hey, get up and walk." And did he? He did. So could Jesus tell bread or rocks to become bread? Yeah, he probably could. Would that have been something that he could have eaten? Would that have made him less stressed? It would have. How about this? How about if the devil told him, "You know what? You can skip over that whole suffering and dying thing. You don't have to do any of that. I will give you all the authority and I will make you king on earth. All you have to do is worship me." Do you think that would take some stress away from Jesus? That he didn't have to die on the cross for us anymore? Yeah, you think it would? What's the problem with that though?
He has to worship
the devil. Yeah. You think that'd be a problem?
Yeah.
Is the devil God? No. And here's the thing. Why did Jesus come to earth? Did he come to earth to save us? Right? So his whole job on earth was to live for us, not to live for himself. So all of that stress that Jesus was feeling, oops, I broke it. That was too much stress. All right. But all that stress that Jesus was suffering on earth, do you think that was the plan? That was God's plan for him, right? Yeah, it was, because he was here to serve us. He was here to take care of us. He was here to die for us. And he knew that it wasn't going to be easy. And so even though it hurt him, even though it stressed him, that was the plan, that he would be stressed. And it wasn't God's will that he would use some shortcut to get out of the stress. Okay? And sometimes it's that way for us too. Like, do you ever have a friend that you have to help, and it's like hard to help your friend because it's like work and you have to not do fun things as much? Yeah. Is that always fun to do that? But is it the job that God gave us? It so is the job God gave us. And so we want, just like Jesus came here to die on the cross for us so that our sins could be forgiven, God puts us in the world so that we can serve other people. And you know what? We shouldn't try to find shortcuts to get out of it. We should do the work that God gives us because he loves us so much. Does that make sense? Should we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for making us your children. Thank you for giving us people that we can love and take care of. Lord, I pray that you would help us be faithful as we do it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. It is now time for a little worship. So anybody who wants, if it's okay with your family, you can go to the cross. And I think that's Katie Norris back there. Who is going to be teaching you, and the rest of us are going to open God's word right here with my broken rubber band. All right. That's quite a parade leaving now. That's pretty amazing. All right, let us begin. The sermon text for today is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And just so you know, this text is immediately after the baptism of Jesus. So Jesus was just the very, very beginning of his ministry, and then this happens. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, because he'd just been baptized, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to whoever, to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourselves down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. All right, my friends. Well, to understand today's text, this is a lot of stuff in here that makes you really think. You know, the whole idea of God himself being tempted, and I know that I've heard pastors have debates over whether Jesus could have sinned or whether he couldn't have sinned, and all of these things that are in this text, there's just so much in here, but I think the most important part of this text begins at the beginning. And I'm not talking about the beginning of the text, I'm not talking about the beginning of the chapter, even the book, but the very beginning, like the Garden of Eden. Because that's the point at which this whole thing begins, because that's when we fell into sin. God created this world perfectly, and we sinned. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and then from then on, we've just had an unbroken chain of sinful people, one generation to the next. But Jesus, God, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, gave a promise to Adam and Eve, and he told them that there was one that was going to come, one who would suffer, but the head of the serpent would be crushed. And through the years, we learned more and more about this Savior who is coming, this one who is going to come to rescue God's people, that was going to set things right, that was going to deal with this sin problem that causes so much suffering in the world. And finally, at just the right time, Jesus was born. And Jesus had a very specific job to do. His job was to carry our sin. His job was, first of all, to live a perfect life in our place so that we could have his righteousness. It was absolutely essential that he not sin, that he be perfect, because we needed to have righteousness from him that we could wear and that we would be able to claim as our own, and that we would be able to have, that would give us the ability to get into heaven. Because everybody needs to be perfect to get into heaven. And so here we are. Jesus is living on this earth, and he's just starting his ministry, and the devil decides to tempt him. And the devil was very strategic with his temptation. He didn't just tempt Jesus at any kind of random thing. He really tempted Jesus at things that got right to the core of this plan of salvation that Jesus was living out. Jesus was first tempted to feed himself. Here's the thing. Jesus wasn't born for himself. If he was trying to live for himself, if that was his goal, he could have stayed in heaven. In heaven, he was honored as he should be. The angels adored him. He was served at all times. He was the center of attention. He was all of that. But he left all of that willingly because he knew that it was required for us to be saved. If he was going to save the people that he loved so much, he was going to have to leave heaven and enter this earth, enter this creation. And so he did that. And while he was in this creation, his job was not to be honored, but his job was to work for us. His job was to serve. His job was to carry out the will of the Father, the plan, the salvation plan that the Father had made. And so Jesus, when he's weak with hunger, the devil tries to tempt him to simply be selfish and make one decision for himself. And Jesus' answer to that temptation is amazing. It points directly to the plan. He says, I'm not as interested in eating this bread, but I am extremely interested in the Word of God, the plan of salvation, the revelation of God, this thing that the Father has started, his plan, I live according to that. And so he avoided the very first temptation. The next temptation was that the devil took him to a high place and in an instant showed him all the kingdoms of the world, everything that was out there. And it'd be amazing to see what Jesus all saw at that time. But the temptation that the devil had for him was this: you can have all the glory right now. Now, the thing is that in God's plan, in the Father's plan, does Jesus get all the glory in the end? Absolutely. I mean, there's all these images in Revelation about the amazing place that heaven is and how Jesus is glorified by everybody who's there. And Jesus is the one, the light of heaven. But is it time for that yet? I mean, according to God's plan, it's right now is the time for Jesus to suffer, for Jesus to sacrifice, for Jesus to give, for Jesus to serve, not for Jesus to be served. But you can imagine how tempting it would be for Jesus. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could have, it's sort of like winning the lottery, right? It's sort of like being able to retire without having to do all the work first. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like getting to the end of the story, getting to the happily ever after without all the stuff that's necessary to come first. But you can imagine how tempting it would be for Jesus to be able to get to that point of glory, the point of him being honored and him getting everything that he rightfully deserves. All he needs to do is take a little shortcut, right? All he has to do is worship the devil. Such a small price. I mean, what are you giving up? Except the entire plan of salvation that the Father had made. Because if Jesus had sinned, we would not have his righteousness. If he did not die for us, we would not have the new life that he gives us in his resurrection. We would not be saved. And Jesus was very aware of this. And Jesus had to make a really simple choice. Do I worship the devil? Or do I continue to follow the plan of salvation that my Father has laid out for me? Will I live for myself? Or will I continue to serve the people that God has sent me to save? And then the devil took him to a high place. And he said, hey, he quoted scripture. This is pretty cool, right? I mean, when the devil's quoting scripture at you, you know this is going to get intense, right? And so the devil quotes scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy 6, and he says, throw yourself off this high place because God says that he will not let any harm to you. He will send his angels to protect you and to guard you so that you will not even hit your foot on a stone. Well, there you have it then. Jesus is protected. So what exactly was the devil saying here? He was saying here, if you are God's son, if you really are who you say you are, then prove it. Throw yourself down and see if God doesn't help you. But this completely makes light of what God was telling Jesus in the Old Testament, the promise that God gave him, which was that he would be able to do his ministry, the work that God gave him to do without fear, because he knew that God, the Father, would be protecting him and helping him. Remember when he went to Nazareth and he was telling them that they wanted him to heal people, and he said, You know, prophet isn't honored in his own town, and he wouldn't heal anybody there. And the people got really mad at him and wanted to throw him off the cliff. Remember this? And what did Jesus do? He just walked away. Somehow he was able to just walk away through the crowd, and nobody was able to harm him. Why? Because this was the Old Testament prophecy that while Jesus was doing the work of God on earth, no harm would come to him until he gave himself for us. And so the work that Jesus was sent here to do, God said, I'm protecting this work. I'm going to make sure that you have everything you need so that you can do my work in the world. And so that's the spirit of the protection that God was talking about. And what did the devil want to turn that into? Instead of Jesus submitting to the Father, Jesus would be putting the Father in a bind. You know, you promised to take care of me, so I'm going to jump. Well, now who's in control? Is Jesus submitting to the Father, or is the Father being coerced into jumping for Jesus? You see how the devil took that whole concept of loving care and turned it over so that now it's like Jesus trying to manipulate the Father to test him. Will he really do what he said he'll do? What Jesus is told to do is what Jesus' expectations were from the Father was to trust in the Father for his protection, that he would obey, that he would submit, that he would carry out this plan, not that he would turn on the Father and demand things of him, especially things that were so unnecessary. And so the question is, well, what are we supposed to take from all of this? Well, first of all, we need to take that Jesus stood up to the devil's temptation. That he didn't sin. That he didn't crack, he didn't break, he didn't fail us, he didn't fail the Father, that he carried out that plan of salvation, that he did it perfectly, that life that he lived on our behalf is real, and that we actually have something of value that he gave us in our baptism, that we have his new life. The other thing we want to see in this is that that Jesus understands temptation. I mean, he does. He gets it. These temptations were not pretend, they were real. Jesus definitely did not want to die. I mean, when he was in Gethsemane, he sweat blood anticipating the suffering and death that he was going to suffer on our behalf. He would have loved to have avoided it, but he didn't avoid it. Because of his great love for us, he suffered, and so our salvation is complete. And then we can look at this and say, well, is there anything we can learn from Jesus? And I think the thing that we need to learn is this. We keep our eyes on the job that God has for us. We focus on the plan of the Father. The same plan of salvation is still being played out, that Jesus died and rose again for all humanity, but now there's still work to be done, not forgiveness to be earned, not righteousness to be arrived at, but that plan of salvation would be preached, would be spoken, would be taught, would be shared with more and more people so that more and more people can be saved. And this is our task. This is what we are here to do. God saved us so that we can use that same message, that same salvation that we ourselves have received, and share it with other people so that they also can know God and know his grace and know his mercy and know that they are saved and know that they are able to spend eternity with him. And that is the task that God has laid before us, that we would be the carriers of his grace, the carriers of his gospel. Now the question is, does the devil distract us from that task? You know, does he get us thinking about all kinds of other things? Does he get us thinking about ourselves and our needs and the things that we want? Does he get us thinking about avoiding the suffering and the discomfort that might come with sharing this gospel? Does he get us to do all of these same things? And the answer is, yeah, he does. And the question is, what do we do when we fail? Well, what do? We just sit and feel bad about it? Do we give up? Do we quit? Or do we bring our sin to God, confess it, get it forgiven, and then get back out there and try again? That we live in the new life that God gives us, that we live it out with boldness, that we focus ourselves as much as we can on what God sent us to do, that we try to be undistractable from this message or from this task that God gave us. And then when we fail, we come back, we receive forgiveness and strength, and we go out and we do it again. Jesus did this perfectly, we don't. But we have work to do. So let's pray that God would continue to help us and give us the strength and wisdom and tenacious endurance so that we can do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you and we thank you so that you have brought all of us, Lord, into your kingdom, that you have loved us so deeply, that you have brought us into this faith and into this knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to know for certain, Lord, that you have covered our sin, that we are redeemed, that we are able to be in heaven with you, Lord, forever because of what you have done for us on the cross and the faith that you have given us by our baptism, by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to, like Jesus, be faithful to the task that you have laid before us, this work of salvation, Lord, that you have given us to do. Help us, give us words to say. Send your Spirit to be the force in the words so that the words have power. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for us to continue our worship of God. And I love this song, Only by Grace. And as we are singing, I do encourage you to record your attendance in the folders that you'll find on the pew screens in front of you. And don't forget, as you're leaving today, we're going to get back to passing plates really soon. But until then, don't forget to put your offering in the boxes in the back of church. I know it's really hard to remember sometimes. I've had several people tell me that they get home and have to turn around and come back again sometimes. But we'll all get by. Let's praise our Lord.
Human endeavor, help by the blood.
My friends, let us stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you have made us your family, that you have brought us into this incredible church, Lord, this collection of people who are struggling to follow you, to worship you, to give you, Lord, all the praise and honor that you deserve. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless your church, that you would help us, Lord, to encourage one another as we follow you, that we would be able to work with each other to do your work in this world, especially speaking your gospel, speaking that truth that gives life because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our church as we move forward. Help us, Lord, to be listening to you, to be able to know what it is you want us to do, to make the most of every opportunity, Lord, to do your work in our community and in this world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our school, Lord, as we are calling teacher and principal. I pray that you would help us, Lord, that you would continue to guide us in this process, Lord, that you would bless the call committee, Lord, with the wisdom to know what it is we need to do and who it is we need to talk to, and that you would bring to us, Lord, the right people at the right time so that your people can continue to do your work and that your name may be glorified, Lord, as these children continue to learn about you and the world that you have created. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our church, Lord, as we are opening up again, Lord, after COVID and getting a few new things started and organized. I pray that you would help us in those tasks. Lord, I pray especially for the Life Team ministry, Lord, that is getting started up right now, Lord, so that more people can, that we can be more aware, Lord, of the incredible gift that life is, and that more people are able to speak about it. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of our members, Lord, as we continue to move through this life that you have given us, Lord, all the different stresses and burdens that everybody bears in life. Lord, we know that we don't have to bear them alone, but that you carry us through this life, that you are with us, that you sometimes take away the pain and sometimes make us strong enough to carry it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to trust in you in every circumstance, Lord, whether it be physical malady and financial problems, relational stress, whatever it would be, Lord, that we would be able to rely on you, our rock and our redeemer, the one that has all the answers, the one that has all the strength, and the one who has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Lord, all these things we bring to you. Oh, but Lord, we also pray that you would be with our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and in Poland, Lord, where there's so many refugees in the other countries over there too. Lord, I pray that you would continue to send the things that the people are going to need. Help us, Lord, as we serve our neighbors, Lord, on the other side of the world, that we would be able to be part of the solution, bringing relief, Lord, in the middle of war. Please, I pray that you would protect the Ukrainian people, Lord, and the Russian soldiers as well, Lord, who probably in many cases, Lord, don't even want to be there. Pray that you would make the best of that situation, Lord. You have the ability and the knowledge, the strength to do so many things, Lord. We hardly know how to pray, but we trust it to you, and we ask that you would give us wisdom to know how we can help. All these things we bring to you, Lord, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Your light shine.
My friends, this meal that God has given us is exactly what we need. We talked a little earlier in the sermon about how we sin, and then we come back to God and get forgiven, and then we need more strength, and then he sends us back out into the world, and then we sin, and then we come back to God, and we get forgiven, and he gives us more strength, and this is exactly the meal for that cycle. And it's not a fun cycle to be in, right? I mean, it's hard, and it takes a lot of strength and a lot of stick-to-itiveness. That's a word, right? It takes a lot to stay in that game, but this meal is one other thing. It is the first fruit of the heavenly banquet. God, Jesus said, this is the last time I'm going to eat of this with you until we eat of it in heaven. And that's when that cycle is going to be broken. That's when we're going to be able to spend eternity in the presence of our God in perfection. And this whole thing is going to be nothing left but a celebration. Celebration of all that our God has done for us and how he got us through it all. So as we go our way today, we have received this blessing, this forgiveness, this promise from God that through this body and blood, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And since this is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. And God tells us in the last chapter of Matthew that when he was ready, going up into heaven, he looked at his disciples and he promised them, I will be with you always. And so as we part our ways today, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. All right, let us stand as we sing the final song of praise to our God together.
But your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher, with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive, you keep hope alive. From the beginning to end, your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. Rose from the grave, rose up from the grave. Yeah.
Have a seat, my friends. Few things we want to announce here. First of all, Sunday, April 3rd is our family meeting when we are going to be approving budgets. Yay. And Nothing better than budgets. Anyway, and don't forget about Camilla's tomorrow for Guatemala, so we can all meet at the Camilla's restaurant and have lots of Mexican food together, which is always a lot of fun to do. And Lenten services are underway. We're going to be meeting on 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights for worship, 6 o'clock for dinner, 5 o'clock for the early bedtime family, younger children and stuff. So all that, please definitely do come to that. And Lenten Devos are available. Here's what they're looking for. They look like that. They're in the lobby. If we run out, let us know. We'll make more. And Rachel Landgraf, remember that lovely young lady that came up front and did an announcement last week? She has another announcement. This announcement is this. She's extending it until the 30th? No, the 20th. 20th, right, Rachel? Where are you?
Yes.
20th. 20. Good deal. All right, so she's going to be collecting diapers and stuff and to give to people who need it, and she'll be doing that until the 20th. So write a note on your hand or whatever you have to do so that you remember. That'd be great. And I wanted to call Dar Karsten up. He's also got a message for, or an announcement for us today.
Good morning. If you would take your bulletins and look on the inside back cover left side page at the top, I want to just say a couple of words about the life team. St. Mark's has always been pro-life, and we have had a group of Lutherans for Life here in our congregations for a number of years. But that has always focused primarily on life in the womb, the pro-life clinics that are available around our state and around in this area. And that's great, but we'd like to expand that. We're calling this the Life Team. And this would expand our focus on the value of life in the womb to life from the womb to the tomb. And a lot of topics that deal with life issues that are beyond the womb. We have an informational meeting scheduled for March 19th. All of you are invited, but we need to know if you're coming because we have to provide for those who come a box lunch. On March the 19th, 9 to 12, Saturday morning, we have a life team coordinator from Churches for Life who are very experienced in life team ministries, and she's going to be presenting the information about a life team. If you come on the 19th, there's no commitment beyond that, but it would give you information about creating a life culture that's broader than it is now here at St. Mark's. So we invite you to come. Sign up at the Connection Center out in the entranceway. My wife Jan's going to be there to answer any questions this morning if you have them. And we need to just know the numbers because of the box lunch that we're going to have at noon. So join us and learn about Life Team Ministry.
Thank you, Dar. All right, my friends, if anybody would like to have individual prayer as you're leaving today, Darwin Krause is right over there in the prayer chapel, and that, as he invited earlier, if anybody wants to know or is questioning whether or not you're saved and you want to know for sure, he'll talk to you about that too. He's our elder. He's the one we all want to be when we grow up. All right? That's how that works. All right. God's blessings, folks. I will see you in the back.